The objective today is to consider the goodness of God and serve Him only. Central truth is God's grace enables believers to serve Him daily. Our lesson text, we're reading our lesson text here. It says, Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for the heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. You've seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done this day. Now Joshua is getting ready to leave. He knows that his time is coming to a close, that his life is coming to an end, and as well his leadership and his position as a leader for the children of Israel. And so he is encouraging them to follow after the Lord, to not get mixed up with the nations around them, and to remain a separate and a sanctified, consecrated people unto the Lord. Now, let's talk a little bit about Joshua. We're going to cover some things today that to me have been some of the most important truths that I've ever learned. And there's a little bit of a negative note in here, but we're going to deal with that and we'll get through it and we'll find that the word will be a blessing to us. Number one, Joshua was a worshiper. As you study the book of Joshua, you will find Joshua was a worshiper. He was a disciple. I'm talking about this leadership, this man of God, Joshua, who was the leader of the children of Israel. He was a disciple, which means, what is a disciple? It means a student, someone who is a learner. So he was a disciple. He diligently followed Moses. Moses was his mentor, his leader, his spiritual father. He followed Moses. And he followed Moses' instructions. In fact, the last charge that he gave him was, make sure that you don't turn away from the directions that we received from Moses. And so he was a disciple, but he was also a teacher. He taught by example. He was a warrior. Joshua was not afraid of warfare. He was a man of faith. Sometimes in living by faith, you do things that don't make sense. It didn't make sense to lead the children of Israel into the Jordan River. But by faith, they moved into the Jordan River and it divided and they went across on dry ground. So he was a man of faith and he was a man of the Word of God. Not just secondhand information, although he was very diligent to keep the words that Moses had given him. He also had a personal relationship with God and he loved God's Word. Joshua 1 and 8 tells us the secret of Joshua's success. He said, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So Joshua gives us the secret of his success. He loved the Word of God. He lived by the Word of God. What does the Bible say, Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to learn how to not just have the word in our house on the coffee table, but David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. He didn't say, thy word have I placed on the coffee table. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So Joshua lived by the word of God. And finally, but certainly not last or not least of all, Joshua was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. It's often been said that no man is greater than his prayer life. And he who would be much for God must be much with God. So these are the qualities and these are the characteristics of Joshua's life that qualified him to be a godly leader. He was a very godly man. Now, These are the qualities and they're the characteristics that make any individual a great leader from God's perspective. Joshua was a great leader, but he wasn't perfect. We studied, as we've gone along, we saw there's some times that Joshua missed God. Remember, in the matter of Ai, the little city, he didn't consult God, just sent a few people over, and they were beaten, and they should have never lost. They should have won that battle. But because of Achan's sin, remember Achan, he saw that Babylonian garment, that gold and silver, and he took it, and Joshua did not seek God about Ai, and so they got in trouble. And so then they had to find out where the problem was that caused the defeat. So Joshua wasn't perfect, and then wasn't it last week we talked about Gibeonites, the Gibeonites, how they deceived Joshua. They flattered him. Remember, they flattered him. They talked about how great his God was and how powerful the children of Israel were and how they feared them. And they flattered Joshua. And Joshua, he listened to them and they deceived him into making a covenant with them and an agreement to let them live even though they were the enemy. And so Joshua wasn't perfect, but he was still a godly man and a godly leader. And he always repented and he got back on track, went back to God and got things right. Now Joshua has been a great leader, but his time is coming to an end and he knows it. And that's where we're at in our lesson. It's important to understand today that we are all a part of God's plan. I think this is really important that we get this, that we're all a part of God's plan. We're all a piece of the puzzle. You're a piece of the puzzle. You're a part of the plan. You're a runner in the race. Now, no single one of us is the whole puzzle. You understand that? No single one of us is the whole puzzle. No single one of us is the whole plan. The race of life has many phases. It has many runners, and no single runner is expected to win the race by themselves. We're in this together. Everybody say together.
Together.
Say, we're in this together.
We're in this together.
So no single runner is expected to win this race by themselves. We each have our course to run, and we run that course, and it's like, how many's ever seen the races where they... or what they call that, when they pass the baton, that kind of race, you know, where they're running around and they pass the baton to the next runner and they run in courses and then this one will run. And it's really interesting if you watch it, because the people that are the coaches strategically place these runners, and because some of them are faster than others and they want their fastest runner at the very end. Because that's where they need that burst of speed. And so you'll watch them as they go around, that they'll pass that baton and one will be a little slower than the other and the other will pick up where the other left off, and then the next one will maybe lose a little ground, but the next one will pick it up again. And so there's a strategy involved in that, because that coach knows that we're all in this together and we all have a course to run. And we all have to do our best. That's the most important thing, is that we do our best. Each one has our course to run. We each have our leg of the race. And then we pass the baton. Everybody say, pass the baton. The vision, the mission, we pass it to the next runner. And this is what Joshua is doing. This is what we're seeing in the scripture, that he is getting ready to leave. And he recognizes that his part of the journey is almost over. His leg of the journey is almost over, and it's time for him to pass the baton. Now, we're not expected to do all. We're not expected to do everything. We're just expected to do our best. How many can do your best? That's all God expects from us. He doesn't expect us to do it all. He doesn't expect us to get it all accomplished. He does expect us to do our best. He expects us to serve our generation to the best of our ability. That's what Joshua did. That's what David did. He served his generation to the best of his ability. And here's the thing. God wants you and I to serve our generation to the best of our ability and make it easier for the next generation. How many as you were growing up and as you became a parent wanted it to be better for your children than it was for you?
Amen.
You wanted it to be easier for your children than it was for you. You would have taken the bumps out of the road for them. And if you could have, you would have, and you tried. How many know most of you tried to give them some wisdom, and a lot of times they didn't listen, and so they had to hit their own bumps and potholes and go through their own. And then, you know, it's like, if you had, I could have told you, and I did tell you, but you didn't listen. You know, because we want it to be better for the next generation. Now, Joshua, he was a tremendous leader. He's very successful. If you read the conquest of the book of Joshua, there were 31 kingdoms that they conquered under the leadership of Joshua. That's pretty good. 31 kingdoms were conquered under the leadership of Joshua. So he was a very successful leader. He led Israel into many victories. But there was one, if there was a failure in Joshua's life, if there's one major failure, this is where I was talking about the negative. The downfall, the shortcoming in Joshua's life, how many can tell me what you think the major fall or failure of Joshua's life was? The major failure. I mean, this is what I see from the Word of God. The major shortcoming in Joshua's life was this. Watch this. He did not leave a successor. He did not raise anyone else up to take his place. Joshua failed to raise up, to father, to mentor, to disciple, to train a successor to pick up the baton, to pick up the leadership baton. He left behind him a nation of followers, but not one leader. Think about that. Joshua was mentored, fathered by Moses. Moses was his spiritual father. Joshua was his spiritual son. Moses poured himself into Joshua. Joshua became a leader, and now Joshua is moving off the scene just like Moses moved off the scene. But we studied this all along the way, that when Moses was getting ready to leave, Moses honored Joshua. Moses put his hands on Joshua, gave him a charge in front of all the people. All the people knew there was a transition of leadership. All the people knew that God had ordained Joshua and that Moses had acknowledged that ordination and set him forth in front of all the people. When Joshua died, he did not do such a thing. When Joshua was moving off of the phase of history, he did not choose a successor. The major failure, if there was a failure in Joshua's life, it was that he failed to father, he failed to mentor, he failed to train a successor to pick up the leadership baton. He left behind him a nation of followers, but there was not one leader. Elijah left Elisha. Paul left Timothy and Titus. Moses left Joshua, but Joshua failed to deposit his leadership spirit into a spiritual son or a successor. He failed to pass the leadership baton. Out of all of his successes, out of all his victorious living, out of all the conquests and the victories that Joshua led the children of Israel into, here is where he failed. He failed to pass the leadership baton. He failed to pass the mantle. One of the greatest failures and shortcomings in the church, in the body of Christ, is that we fail to father, mentor, and disciple and train leaders. We have many followers, but not many leaders. Many students, but not many teachers. Many children, but not many fathers. Paul said this. Paul made a statement in the book of Corinthians. He said, though you have 10,000 instructors, think about that. Paul's talking to Christians. He says, though you may have 10,000 instructors, yet you have not many fathers. He says, there's a lot of people that are teaching, but there's not very many that are fathering. There's not very many that are spiritual fathers. Now, some of us, and I grew up in church all my life, and I'm not saying I was in Christ all my life, but I was in church all my life. I grew up in church. But I didn't understand anything about spiritual fathering. I understood instructors. I understood teachers. That's what Paul said. There may be 10,000 teachers, 10,000 instructors, but there's not many fathers. I understood teachers. I understood preachers. I understood instructors, but I did not understand spiritual fathers. Now, here's the question. How do I know who is a spiritual father and who is not? Now listen, watch this. I'm going to help you today. You may have 20 pastors in your lifetime and never have a spiritual father. Just because you have an instructor or a leader over you doesn't mean you have a spiritual father. And you have to stay with me because this is a little deep water today. You may have one pastor all your life, and he or she may be your spiritual father, or he or she may never be more to you than a preacher. Can they help you? Okay, so how do I know? Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? Man of God, tell me what is the difference. All right, watch this. Your spiritual father is the one that you get your DNA from. How many knows in the natural, you get your natural DNA from your natural father. You get your natural identity from your natural father. You get your spiritual DNA from your spiritual father. It's the one you get your identity from. It's the one who identifies what is in you and causes you to see who you are. It's the one whose words impregnate your spirit and give birth to vision and purpose in your life. I'm talking about not just a leader, and not just a teacher, and not just an instructor, and not just a preacher, and not just a pastor, but a spiritual father. Now there's a difference. Friends, there's a difference. Paul made a distinction. He said you might have 10,000 instructors. You might have 10,000 teachers that are teaching you good and teaching you the word. He said, but there's not many fathers. But I am one of them. That's what Paul said. I am one of them. In Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the truth. Hallelujah. Thank God Paul was a spiritual father. How do you know? Because he talked about Timothy and said, this is my son Timothy and my son Titus. Paul had spiritual sons. A spiritual father is more than an instructor, a teacher, or a preacher. An instructor, a teacher, a preacher gives you words. Like I'm doing today. Give you words. Instruct you. Show you what the Bible says. Tell you what the Bible says. But a spiritual father doesn't just impart words to you. A spiritual father imparts himself to you. All right? Now, I'm not just a preacher. I'm not just a teacher. I'm not just an instructor. I am a spiritual father. I am. Now, I can say that. I can say that because I've had a spiritual father who imparted himself to me and gave me my spiritual identity. Now, somebody said, well, you get that from God. Well, you know what? We get born of His Spirit, but somebody has to show us who we are. Amen. Somebody has to reveal to us what our real identity is and show us who we are in God. And God chooses, like Paul the Apostle, to be a spiritual father, like Moses to Joshua was a spiritual father, like Elijah to Elisha was a spiritual father, like Paul to Timothy and Titus was a spiritual father, like Abraham, the Bible says, is the father of our faith, and we are of Abraham, so we are his spiritual children, then that spiritual father imparts that spiritual DNA into his spiritual sons. Is anybody with me? You understand? Now, this is all going along with Joshua because, see, Joshua failed to do that. This was the greatest failure of Joshua's life. He failed to pass on his spiritual DNA into a spiritual son. And so I can say that I'm a spiritual father because I have had a spiritual father who imparted himself to me. He gave me my spiritual identity and my spiritual DNA. And just like Timothy and Titus were Paul's spiritual sons, I am a spiritual son of the Father that imparted himself to me. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Now watch, I'm going to help you. I really am. I'm going to help you. I want you to understand something. Watch this. Just like Timothy and Titus were Paul's spiritual sons, I'm a spiritual son of the Father that imparted himself to me. And I will have. I'm not saying this braggingly. I'm not saying this jokingly. I'm not saying this hopefully. I will have spiritual sons and daughters all over the place.
Amen.
I will have. Because everything that I do, everything, every message that I preach, everything that I put forth has my spiritual DNA in it. It has my identity in it. It's not just information. It's not just instruction. I'm imparting myself into others. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Now watch. Because I'm not just trying to maintain a congregation. I want you to understand that. I am fathering sons and daughters in the kingdom. And if you allow me, I will be a spiritual father to you. If you allow me, I will be a spiritual father and I will deposit my spiritual DNA in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then, watch this. Then you will become a spiritual father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Are you understand? That's what it's all about. It's not leaving behind us a nation of followers. It's leaving behind us a nation of leaders that can lead others. What we're missing in our church today, in the church world today, is there is a vacancy of spiritual fathers. There's a vacancy of men and women of God who know how to impart themselves into others and to put their spiritual DNA into someone else. We've got a lot of teachers, a lot of instructors, but not a lot of spiritual fathers. Now, what is the importance of that? Because when you have received that DNA and you have become a spiritual son, a spiritual daughter, then you can become a spiritual father. Or you can decide, on the other hand, you can decide that I, myself, will never be any more to you than a preacher and a teacher or an instructor. That's your decision. No one can make you do that. No one can make it any different. Now, I'm going to get into this in a minute, but let me cover this in order. The main thing that I learned from Joshua's life, the main thing that I learned from this shortcoming in Joshua's life is this. I am not leaving this life without a successor. I am not leaving the scene of history without imparting myself into someone else and without raising up spiritual sons and daughters. I am not going to do it. That's the failure of ministry. That's the failure that we so often find in the church is we find good teachers, good preachers, good ministers doing a good work for God, but not raising up men and women, sons and daughters that will carry on the ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the main thing I learned from Joshua's life is this. I am not leaving without a successor. I am not leaving behind me a nation of followers without a leader. I think I need to say something as well today. Now, I'm not just saying this for our benefit right here. This is being recorded because there are people all over the country and all over the world that need to hear the truth that I'm sharing right here today. They need to hear this. They need to understand this. You need to realize and understand that this is not natural. It's spiritual. Everybody say spiritual.
Spiritual.
It's not natural. It's spiritual. So I am not dying physically without imparting myself into someone else and leaving behind me a spiritual son, spiritual daughter, or many spiritual sons and many spiritual daughters. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Joshua died without a successor. And if there was a failure in Joshua's life, that was it. He did not raise up a successor. Now, let me say something to you today. I need to wrap this up pretty quick. Because this is spiritual, it's not natural, it's not a male or female thing. What does that mean? That means a woman can be a spiritual father just as much as a man can. Because it's not about natural, it's about spiritual. In the kingdom of God, it's not male or female, it's spiritual. It's spirit. It's not about my physical DNA, it's about my spiritual DNA. It's not about who you are physically, it's about who you are spiritually. So it's not a male or female thing, it's about passing on your spirit. Everybody say spiritual?
Spiritual.
Your spiritual DNA. And secondly, let me say something else. Secondly, it's not chronological. In other words, it don't matter how old you are, how young you are. I can be a spiritual father to someone who's 105 if they'll let me.
Yeah.
It's not about age. It's about what you carry. Hallelujah. It's not about age. It's about what you have in your spirit that you're able to pass on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does anybody understand what I'm saying today? It's not about chronological age. It's about your relationship with God. It's about what you know, who you know. It's about what you carry in the Spirit that you're able to pass on and impart to someone else. And here's something else. Listen, you can have more than one spiritual father. There's no competition in the kingdom of God. Anyone that imparts themselves unto you and helps you identify who you are and God's purpose and plan for your life and unlocks that potential and unlocks that reality, unlocks that purpose inside of you, becomes a spiritual father to you or a spiritual mother. Because it's not natural, it's spiritual. So you can have more than one spiritual father. So if you say, Brother Smith was my spiritual father, and that's just the way it always is, well, you know what? There's no competition. There's no competition. You can have more than one.
Yeah.
This is spiritual. You can have five or six. It's all about who you allow to impart into your life that spiritual DNA to identify who you are. Now, I'm going to help somebody, Dave. I'm almost done. We got to hurry through this. But you can have more than one spiritual father. Moses was not just Joshua's teacher, instructor. He was his spiritual father. He imparted, he sowed himself, his spiritual DNA into Joshua. Same was true of Elijah and Elisha. Same thing was true of Paul and Timothy and Titus. What qualifies a person to be a spiritual son or daughter? What qualifies a person to be a spiritual son or daughter? Here, let me run through it pretty quick. One, an unquenchable love and hunger for God. That's where it starts. Number two, a commitment to the Word of God. You will never be a spiritual son or daughter of God if you're not committed to His Word. Number three, a recognition that someone carries something in the Spirit that you desire in your own life. Hallelujah. You've got to see in something, in someone, what you desire in your own life.
Amen.
I'm talking about what qualifies you to be a spiritual son in Christ, in the kingdom. Number four, a willingness not only to be praised,
Now this is the part, we like to be praised, we all love to be loved, we all love to be praised, we all love to be appreciated. But a spiritual son is not only willing to be praised, he's also willing to be rebuked and corrected when needed. Well, that separates a lot of people right there. That separates a lot of people, because as long as you're praising them, they're like, "Woo, I'm in, I'm with it, I'm with it." You get a little bit of correction, it's like, I'm gone, I'm gone.
I don't want to be like that.
Especially a rebuke. So, oh, God doesn't rebuke me. Well, the Bible says if you are without chastening, then you don't belong to Him.
That's right. That's true.
So, you can only receive from a person what you esteem them to be. In other words, the level that you recognize and respect the anointing on my life determines what you're able to receive through me. Elijah had many students. Think about this. He had many students, but he only had one spiritual son. The Bible says he had a school of prophets. 50 sons of the prophets were standing to watch Elijah and Elisha cross the Jordan River. 50 sons of the prophets. These were people that were taught by Elijah. So they were schooled by Elijah. They were trained. They were taught. But he had only one son, and that was Elisha. And Elisha put himself under Elijah, said, "Whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. If you correct me, I'll be corrected. If you rebuke me, I'll be rebuked. If you praise me, I'll be praised. I just want to be with you. Because there's something in you I want." What did he say? "I want a double portion of what you carry." Hallelujah! Why are you here, Elijah? I'm not here for an accident. He said, "You got something I want. You carry something I want. I see something in you I want, and I'm not going nowhere until I get it." Hallelujah. Elijah even told him, he said, go back. He said, "I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere until I get that double portion of what you carry." Hallelujah. Amen. So every son must be a student. You can't get away from that fact. But every student doesn't have to be and doesn't want to be a son. Let me say it again. Every son must be a student. You cannot be a son, a spiritual son, without being a student. You have to be willing to learn, be discipled, be trained, be taught, be corrected, be rebuked. Every son must be a student. But every student doesn't have to be a son. It's a choice. It's a choice. Elijah had 50 sons of the prophets, but they were not his spiritual sons. Elisha was his spiritual son. So, while we're committed to teach every student, we're committed to teach every person the truth, the Word of God, our primary objective is to raise up sons and daughters. Why is that so important? Because sons and daughters catch the DNA of their spiritual father, then they take up where their spiritual father leaves off. That's what Joshua did for Moses. He took up where Moses left off. They become the next generation pastors. They become the next generation prophets, apostles, teachers, evangelists, missionaries, church builders, church planters. If you really want to fulfill your destiny and walk in the purpose of God for your life, then you have to position yourself to absorb everything that you can receive in the Spirit from my life. Get everything you can get. Put a demand on what's inside of me. Put a demand on my anointing. Put a demand on what I carry. And the end result was, according to the book of Judges, because Joshua did not pass on his spiritual DNA to a son, the book of Judges says this, "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Why? Because there was no leadership. And while Moses was alive, the people fell under Moses' leadership. While Joshua was alive, the people fell under Joshua's leadership. They worshiped God, served God. But when Joshua died, his influence lasted until the elders died that were under his leadership. But as soon as those elders died, the people went crazy. They did everything they wanted to do, whatever looked good to them, whatever felt good to them, that's what they did. Why? Because he left no successor. Now, I'm almost done. I have a wonderful father, naturally. My dad is a good man. I love my dad. He's a great man of God. He gave me my natural DNA. He gave me my natural identity. My name is Terry Sisney because my dad's name is Wayne Sisney. So he gave me my natural DNA.
But my dad, even though he's a great father, was a great father, is a great natural father, he did not give me my spiritual DNA. I want you to know this. I love my dad. My dad was a pastor most of my life. But my natural father, is not my spiritual father. Not because he couldn't be, but because he didn't know. He didn't know how. My dad was a great pastor. He was a great preacher. He's a great teacher. He's a great leader. But my dad did not know how to father. So the result was he had a lot of followers, but no sons. I'm his natural son, but I'm not his spiritual son. God had to put me way over in Arkansas, way over in Oklahoma, and put me under a ministry that understood spiritual fathering.
Hallelujah.
Put me in a place where there was a man of God who understood what it meant to be a spiritual father, and that man of God imparted spiritual DNA into my life. He identified who I was. He identified the calling of God on my life. He identified what God had put inside of me, and he unlocked that inside of me. My dad, I love my dad with all my heart. And my dad is a great father. He's a great preacher. He was a great teacher. He's a great preacher. He's a great minister. But if my dad would have understood spiritual fathering, if he would have understood what Paul understood, that I'm not just a teacher, I'm not just a preacher, I'm not just an instructor, I am a spiritual father, my dad would have sons all over this valley right now that are pastoring churches. Because he ministered to a lot of people, but he didn't understand how to father. So he didn't know how to impart his spiritual DNA into someone else. He didn't understand. But see, I understand. Not because my dad taught me, because he didn't know. I understand because I got under a father that taught me. A spiritual father under God that taught me who I was and imparted his DNA into me. Now I can do the same. Oh, hallelujah. I can do the same. And I'm doing it all over the world. Even from this pulpit right here today. Right here today. This message and messages that I preach in this pulpit, in this church, they're going out all over the world. And they're going to impart spiritual DNA into other people who will recognize who they are in God. And what God has called him to be. Now my dad didn't understand. He didn't understand it. He couldn't do it because he didn't understand spiritual fathering. Great pastor, great preacher, great teacher. Had a successful ministry. But he did not birth or raise up spiritual sons or daughters with his DNA. He didn't do it. And I didn't understand it either. Until God brought a true spiritual father into my life. Who knew he was called, anointed, and appointed, and empowered by God to raise up sons and daughters. Now, for 10 years, I'm almost done. But for 10 years, I submitted myself to that spiritual father. I learned from him. I was taught by him. I was corrected by him. I was praised by him. I was rebuked by him. I walked with him. I talked with him. I watched him. I learned from him. And he imparted his spiritual DNA into my life. He identified who I was. He didn't just teach me. He didn't just tell me. He didn't just instruct me. He imparted. How many understand there's a difference? There's a difference. So Elijah had a lot of students, but he only had one son. Paul looked out and he said, you've got a lot of teachers, but there's not many fathers. The great vacancy that we have in the church today is that there's not many fathers. There may be preachers, teachers, instructors, but there's not many fathers that are willing to impart themselves, their spiritual DNA, into you. And that's the will of God, because here was Joshua's failure. He did not have a spiritual son to carry on his legacy. He did not have a spiritual son to pass the baton to.
When he passed. And what happened? It fell. Leadership fell. And the children of Israel did whatever they wanted to do.
Amen. So we're blessed. You're blessed in this house that you've had a man of God that imparted his life into you and imparted himself into you. And we're thankful for that. And we're at a place in life where God has brought us in here, and we're thankful for where we stand. And I know that I stand like in the same stead. I stand as a spiritual father, not just a teacher, not just an instructor, not just a preacher, not just a pastor, but I am a spiritual father. And what you receive from me is up to you. What you get from me is up to you. But I will tell you that there's more in me than what you see. And it's up to you to pull it out. Hallelujah! If you want more, then pull. Pull on it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to be everything you can be in God? How many want to reach your full potential? Amen. I'm still a learner. I'm still a student. I'm still a spiritual son. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I don't ever put the cork in and say, I got it all now. I've reached that. I'm there. Hallelujah. You know, it's all done. I'm ready to go to heaven. No, I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm a student. You know, while I'm a teacher, I'm still a student. So we want to be everything that we can be, and we want to fulfill our purpose. And that's what God does through spiritual fathering. He shows us our identity. Who am I? Do you know that most people do not know who they are in Christ? Who am I? If you ask me who am I will say I'm redeemed. I will say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I will say I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I will say I'm above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. I will say that I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'll say I'm a son of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. See, I know who I am. Do you know who you are? So I said, who are you? Well, I go to the Pentecostal Church of God, Grover Beach. Well, that's wonderful. That's where you go. Who are you? Hallelujah. Amen. When the devil comes at me and he says, who do you think you are? I don't tell him, well, I'm the son of Wayne Sisney. I say, oh, no. I am a son of the living God. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, ransomed from the hand of the enemy. I've been given power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. I have the power of Jesus' name. I have the power of the blood. I have the power of the Word. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. Greater is He that's in us and He that's in the world. Who are you? Hallelujah. Just about.
You are loved.
You are loved. I am loved.
We love you.
We love you too. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank God for His word today. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today, God. Lord, we want to be spiritual sons. We want to be spiritual daughters, Lord. God, we want to be all that we can be. We want to know our identity. We want to know who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us and through us, Lord. Lord, we thank you today, God, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, to rest upon us as your children, Lord. God, that you reveal to us all that we are and all that we can be through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, shake hands.